This evening, I was thinking to speak on Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, in Text 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Ramanaga Vihastini, Shuni Chaiva Svapakecha, Pandita Samadarshanaha, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmanega Vihastini, Shuni Chaiva Svapakecha, Pandita Samadarshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahmana and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahmana. Although the body of a Brahmana and that of an outcast are not the same, the bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the supersoul within the body are the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the supersoul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna-conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and the supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. So here Krishna is explaining a very important principle. And that is that all living entities, like right now, we see so much turmoil between religions, between political parties, between bodies, what color you are, what group you come from, so much anger and turmoil. So here Krishna's explaining how he is in every living entity. There's no difference. There's no difference between a Muslim, Hindu, a Christian. There's no difference. Super soul is there. And every living entity, whether they're a cow, a dog, they're all individual living entities, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So in this verse, Krishna explains that what's the difference? We have the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the quantity is different. And Srila Prabhupada explained to us that that is just like when we go to the ocean. We might take a drop out of the ocean and we might analyze the qualities within this drop. They're exactly the same as the qualities in the ocean. But the difference is that that little drop is a tiny little drop, whereas the whole ocean is waves and so powerful. So similarly, it's the same with us and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have the same quality, but small quantity. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes, especially, we get caught up in our own little lives and our own, we think that we are, one time Giriraj Swami said, it's like we're thinking that we are the main actors on the stage, right? And everyone else is the, what's the guy that helps you in the lead, the supporting actor, yes. So fights come in when the supporting actor starts acting like the main actor. Hey, get back in your spot. I'm the main actor. You're just the supporting actor. So then anger arises. Then there's fighting. But actually, all of us are thinking like that. That's the false ego. I remember looking one time we were flying out, and you know when you first go up, and you can see all the people running around, all the cars going here and there, and I was thinking, every single person in every one of those homes, in every one of those cars, they're all individual souls, part and parcel of Krishna. They each one have their own relatives, their own families, their own enjoyment and disappointments. Every single living entity. And it doesn't just stop with humans. Like we have cows, and every morning we milk the cows. So each one is different. You know, one cow, she loves being milked. She stands there. The other cow, she's always seeing if she can kick the bucket over. You're having to grab the bucket constantly. You know, they're all different. And the dogs, they're all different. You have some dogs that are always angry, bark, bark, bite. You know, and other dogs that are just kind of mellow, laying under a tree, or, you know. So every living entity is separate individuals. But we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. And we have come to this material world trying to enjoy. That is the main reason we're here. We're trying to enjoy in this material world. Later on in Bhagavad Gita, he explains that it's like a banyan tree, this material world. It said, I don't know how many, most of you have seen banyan trees. And there's so many limbs going down and planting into the ground. And they're huge. Some of them can be as big as a village. You know, I know there's one in Navadvip. And they have all their shops underneath this huge, big tree. And there, you can't tell where's the beginning, where's the middle. So Krishna says that this banyan tree, it's just like our entanglement here. The twigs of them are the senses, the different senses. The branches are like the things we enjoy with, like our nose, our touch, our sense organs, yes. And it says that the main trunk goes all the way to Brahmaloka. It goes to the topmost planet in this material world and down here to this material universe. And we go up and down, in all different species of life. Sometimes we're the cow. Sometimes we're the human. Then we might become a dog. Then we might become a bear. Sleep a lot. We have so many different bodies we can go in. There's 4,800,000 different species of life. And we don't just come down and then go back to Godhead. No. We can go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, through so many species of life. And it's such an entanglement, just like that banyan tree. You can't tell how to get out, and we're so entangled. We're always thinking, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do, and we're chasing our senses and our pleasure. So that's the entanglement. Just like the other day I was watching, I was sitting chanting japa on the front porch, and suddenly this wasp came and got stuck in a big spider web. And the spider immediately came down. And this wasp was like going like this, and it was getting more and more entangled in this web. And finally the spider got there, and that wasp was finished. And then he wrapped them all up and kept them there for later. And we're like that. The more we're after this, we're getting more and more entangled in this material world and another body at the time of death. The death rate right now, does anyone know what it is? 100%. It's 100%. No one gets out of here alive, out of these bodies. 100%. So we have a way of trying to ignore that fact and carry on trying to enjoy this material world, but it's coming to every single one of us. And one time, someone was visiting in Srila Prabhupada's room, and it was a young man. He said, so who is older, you or I? And he kind of looked around the room, thinking, that's a funny question. Obviously, he's older than me. I'm 20. He's 70, you know. But he said, well, I guess you are. He said, no. It depends on who dies first. And who can say when that's coming? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it 100 years from now? Is it 20 years from now? Who knows? We cannot say. But that's why we have to become serious. In this lifetime, we have to become serious. Instead of chasing these illusions, we have to get some knowledge. And that's what this Bhagavad Gita is all about. It gives us the knowledge to extricate ourselves from this banyan tree, or this web of material nature, or sometimes it's called the forest of enjoyment. You know, sometimes you can go into a forest and you can get lost. You know, going through the trees and they all start looking the same and then you don't know where you're going. And it's like that. You know, we go from one thing, okay, I have to do this. I'm just going to do this thing and then it leads to another and another and we get so entangled and we've forgotten all about our spiritual life. Suddenly all we're thinking about is we have to have so many dollars and so many cents so we can buy this new car and I have to have the latest iPhone because it just came out and this other one doesn't have the whatever bits you need. I don't have an iPhone, so I'm not sure about what. But, you know, so, oh, the car, my car is looking a bit old. That guy next door has a much better one. I should get one of those. You know, and soon we're becoming so entangled. We're having to work. I saw someone wrote a post saying, we work so hard to get a good education so we can get a good job so we can pay off our loans for our good education. And that's basically what we're doing. We're running, thinking that we're going to enjoy our senses. But it's like that mirage that when you're driving on a hot day, and it looks like water, but it keeps going and going and going. We're thinking it's just there, but it keeps going. And that enjoyment is just like that. We're going after it. But Krishna says that the key to getting out of this entanglement is devotional service. And devotional service, there are many types of devotional service, but they begin with hearing and chanting. And it starts clearing away the ignorance that we have. Because we're born, just like we just said, omagyana timirandasya, we're born into ignorance. But our spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So we're in a dark delusion, thinking that I am this body, I am so-and-so. If anybody asks you, who are you? You'll say, oh, I'm Ruchira. I live here in Alachua. You know, but that isn't who we really are. But that's who we are conditioned to think, that we're this person. But we're really the eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's so many different ways that we can serve him and get out of this entanglement. Reading Bhagavad Gita, associating with devotees, doing some cleaning up in the kitchen after the Sunday feast, you know, so serving out the feast, bringing flowers for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, you offer a flower to Srimati Radharani. And you say, my dear Srimati Radharani, could you please offer this to your Lord? You can offer to our Guru Maharaj, then he offers it to Krishna for us. So many things, cleaning around the temple, chanting, japa, hearing, reading together. So many things we can do as devotional service. And all of this cleans the mirror of the heart. Through all this trying to enjoy, we dirty our heart. And we've been carrying around this covering for many, many lifetimes. I mean, for me, I think it's been eternal. It's so dirty, the mirror of the mind and the heart, that I think it must be just millions of lifetimes. But kindly Srila Prabhupada came and gave us this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, devotional service, scriptures, association of devotees. And I can feel, even in myself, some cleansing happening, some eye-opening, some understanding. Oh, this world is not meant for enjoying. You know, if you take one part of your body, okay, let's take the finger. What could you enjoy with this finger? How could I enjoy with this finger? Anybody want to give some? Anybody? Suck the finger? Yeah, maybe. Some people like that. You could play a guitar, okay. Put chocolate in it. That would be some enjoyment. Ice cream. You could maybe, if it's cold, you could put a glove on it, right? Keep it warm. Or if it's hot, you might put it in some cool water, go swimming in the springs or something. Okay, so how many things could we do to this finger to give it pain? Smash it. Burn it. Bite it. Cut it. Take the fingernail off of it. Splinters in it. Yep, so many things. So I think if you take any part of the body, you'll see the suffering is far more than the enjoyment of any part of this body. And yet, we're so foolish that we think, well, if we just make this arrangement, we'll enjoy. You know, it didn't work that last time because I didn't realize that if I just tweak it a little bit, I will actually enjoy. I remember hearing one friend say, you know, I've had 3 children and none of them, I didn't enjoy any of them. But it was because of this, 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 and this. But my next one, I'm really going to enjoy being a mother. And I said, why do you think that? Why do you think that it's going to be different this next time? But that's our illusion. We're always thinking, next year will be better than this year. Or the next car I get is going to be better. Or, you know, the next degree I get is going to make me smarter. Right? We're always thinking there's some enjoyment at the end of this suffering. So let me just tweak it and maybe I can enjoy better. But it doesn't happen. It's just getting us more and more entangled. So the best way to get out of this is to chant the holy names of the Lord. We should all give it a shot. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're very fortunate that actually in this day and age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came just 530 years ago, like that, and he opened up the storehouse of love for God. And this is where enjoyment really resides. It's not in this body. It's not in this material world. It's in the holy names of the Lord and getting our relationship with the Lord and having that association with the Lord. Because it's just like we used to do a drama called Fish Out of Water. And this fish gets taken out of the water and he's on the shore like flapping around, right? Because he's suffocating. But somebody comes along and thinks, oh, let me put this fish in a nice silk bed. You know, he'll be happy then. You think the fish is happy? No way. You know, oh, maybe I should give the fish the best food that I can offer it. It'll be happy then. No, it's not happy. But as soon as you drop that fish back into the ocean or the lake, into some water, the fish is so happy. So we're like that. We're the fish out of the water. We're trying to enjoy separately in this material world. We're trying so hard. But real happiness resides in the spiritual world. And it's not that we have to die to go back. I mean, we're going to die, but we don't have to do that to get that enjoyment. That's right here, right now. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering us. And he says, you don't even have to be qualified. I think most people don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in India. Right here we can see on the left, there's Lord Chaitanya on the right and Lord Nityananda on the left. They came here specifically to save the most fallen. And if you look around in this age, everyone is fallen. From the top to the bottom, we're all in a fallen condition of life. You know, some may appear, you see in the newspapers or wherever you get news, there's always people that are posing to be very great men, very great women, and they are found to be the worst of people. Right? And we're all fallen to some extent or another. We may fool ourselves thinking that we're so much better than everyone else, but we're not. We're lower than everyone else. So Lord Chaitanya came to save the most fallen. So we get to get his mercy first because we're so fallen. And Srila Prabhupada came to this western shores to give Krishna consciousness to the western people. You know, in India, it was there locked up. We never heard any Sanskrit. When I was growing up in Missouri, I never even saw an Indian person. Never. It just was, they weren't there. You know, and then I remember getting a National Geographic. And inside was a whole talk on the Ganga and all the different people that were living along the Ganges. And I remember there was one picture of a woman and she had the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra tattooed all over her face. And I was going, wow, that's so amazing. And it said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I thought, wow, that's really amazing. And then very soon after that, I met the devotees. You know, it was just that little taste of the Maha Mantra and a National Geographic. And then suddenly, Krishna sent along devotees. And it was so amazing, meeting devotees, meeting people that were so different, and talking about things that I'd been thinking and wondering about for my whole life. I mean, I was only 13 or 14 at the time, but I'd been thinking, what's eternal? What is eternality? I was Catholic. I was thinking, so who is God? What is hell? Where are we going after this? What happens when you die? I had a cousin. She was just 18, and suddenly she died. She had spent a whole week with me, and she went home, and she was dead within a week, and she wasn't even sick. So what is this death? What's happening? Suddenly I met devotees, and I started hearing Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ding! Ah, my eyes were open. Suddenly I'm not this body. And these years in this material world have nothing to do with the spiritual world. Now, this material world is a perverted reflection. My son-in-law and daughter and grandkids were on vacation. And my son-in-law took this picture that they were walking along and there were water puddles. And he turned it around so that it looked like it was their reflection, but it looked like them walking, even though it was the reflection of them walking. And it looked very real. It was quite a mind-bending kind of picture. And I think it's the same here. We're thinking this is reality. But really, the spiritual world is reality. There's no birth. There's no death. You think here, we're all trying to escape death. That's why the pharmaceutical people are making so much money. We're all trying to escape death. We want to be healthy. We want to stay healthy. We want to keep going. Right? We don't want to lose any of our family members or friends. It just seems so unfair. Right? We love these people and then they're gone. So we don't want to lose, we don't want to lose anyone. We don't want to get old. We don't want to die. And we don't have to. We want to be really intelligent and have lots of knowledge. And all these things are because we are eternal. We are full of knowledge. And we want to be happy. And it's because we are eternally blissful. That's our nature. Like it said in this purport, we have the same nature, same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why we strive for that. But it's just like that reflection. We're going for it in the wrong way, in the wrong place. We're looking for happiness, just like trying to get that fish some happiness by giving him comforts. It doesn't work. And we're like that. The older you get, the more you realize those comforts just do not do the trick. You know, I've been searching for happiness for 60 years. And I still haven't found it. I've been to so many different countries. I still haven't found it. I've had so many friends and relatives, and still that supreme happiness that I'm looking for is not there. But you sit here, chant japa in the morning together with others. It's so blissful. There's a taste there. You do service for the Lord with other devotees, other people. There's a taste there. And that's a little taste of what's waiting for us in the spiritual world. Just a little taste. In fact, there's one chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna starts explaining all his different wonderful aspects of the whole creation. You know, there's so much beauty here, really. If you look around, all the little flowers, like sometimes just walking through a field, so many different beautiful flowers are there. Tiny little things that you wouldn't even notice if you were driving or something, but beautiful. You know, there's so many birds in the morning. You listen, so much beauty in their songs and, you know, calling to one another. There's so much beauty here. Seeing the love between... In the morning when our cows come in and they're so loving to you. You know, you milk them and they're standing there and there's some love to be had there. That's so nice, but it's so temporary. The pain comes after that. We had this beautiful ox. He was such a wonderful servant. He did all the plowing. He did whatever he was asked to do. And then he died. It was such a heartbreaking thing. But that doesn't happen in the spiritual world. That's in this perverted reflection. So we have to get out of here. And the main way to do it is to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And all you have to do is chant with the lips and hear with the ears. Okay, we chant 16 rounds on our beads, japa mala, every day, at least 16 rounds. It's 108 beads, 16 times. You can chant in kirtan, very nice. You know, so much service to be done. You can read, you can study with others, tell stories, what you've read, tell others. Go out and distribute books to others. You know, invite others to study. There's one purport I was looking at here, I think it's in the 15th chapter, and Srila Prabhupada was saying, this is such vital information that everyone needs it. Everyone has to have this information because we're all in the same position. We're all suffering in this material world. And even though someone may look like, oh, I don't suffer. I'm having a great time. You know, I'm wealthy, I'm beautiful, I have a lot of intelligence, you know. All my friends are also from the higher castes. And yet then you see they've committed suicide or they you know, they're having great depression and they're on many drugs to break their depression. Because that doesn't make us happy. It's this spiritual, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And understanding Him as our only shelter. He's the only shelter in this material world. Srila Prabhupada used to say, all other shelters that we have here are called fallible soldiers. They're fallible. We think right now we're getting shelter in this place or that place, our money. But look how many people suddenly become poor. They lose everything, just like that. You know, now we're having all these hurricanes and fires, California, beautiful homes, and it's gone with a fire. You know, these are all our fallible soldiers. But the real shelter is in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And that's where happiness comes. That's where our eternal life is. And that's where all knowledge comes. The Vedas has all knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the cream of the Vedas. And that's where we'll really get knowledge and we'll feel satisfied. And it'll start taking these cataracts off our eyes. We have cataracts. We see things in a blurry way. We can kind of make out what's reality and what's not, but it's kind of blurred. But this knowledge cuts those cataracts off so we can see clearly the difference between material and spiritual. And then we can make nice choices in our life and get out of here. Go back to Godhead. Okay, thank you very much. And if anyone has any questions or comments, or please do. Prabhu?
Consciousness is in the bacteria and in the virus. And because a lot of times we wonder about things, you know, how is it a virus? It's the same as I am. How does it have a soul? But the potential is there. The consciousness is there. It's just dormant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can see that in all living entities, and I guess down to the amoebas.
Yeah.
They all have some kind of consciousness, whether it's small or greater. But I noticed just having animals around, you see the love. Like, we have some cows that had calves like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and still they'll go and graze with their calves, which are now bigger than they are, some of them. But there's love there, you know, and every atom has. So we shouldn't become proud thinking we're so much greater than any other living entity. We might have different potential and different understanding. Krishna has given us greater or lesser abilities. Actually, they're different abilities. But we might have greater consciousness. But that doesn't mean that we should become proud thinking that we're better than these others. You know, they also have Krishna in the heart. And Prabhupada said there that he is the friend of all these living entities. And another party says, I don't favor one over another. I am equal to all. He's equal to everyone, even those amoebas or viruses. He's there trying to guide us out of our illusion. We just have to listen. And that listening is this chanting. You must do it. That is where you can start hearing and seeing. Is through this chanting and reading these scriptures. Maharaj?
Thank you for a nice presentation. I usually don't ask questions like this, but I guess it's a Sunday feast lecture. I'm changing my style a little bit. Someone may question, it's like devil's advocate question, that, okay, we know that there's so much misery in the material world, but in one sense, you're only making it worse by just reminding us so much about it. And I hear other devotees also, they talk about birth and death and disease and old age. It's bad enough that these things are there, but if you keep telling us about it, then it becomes even more miserable in this world. Why you do like that?
Good question. Well, we have to do like that. We have, it's like someone who has jaundice and doesn't want to take the medicine. It's bitter. Sugar candy is bitter when one has jaundice. It's awful. So just like that, we have to know reality. It seems cruel, but it's only cruel to be kind. We have to know the reality of this material world. Otherwise, we're thinking, this place is enjoyable. And there is some enjoyment. There's no question there is some enjoyment here. But it's like a little tiny drop compared to that whole ocean. It's so small and insignificant. So yes, maybe it's a fatalistic way to look at this material world, but it's reality. And it's no good, you know, when you have a boil. Has anybody had a boil here? I'm sure most people have. Had. You blow on it, what does it do? Nothing. You know, but if you lance it, and that might seem cruel, it clears out all the yucky stuff in there, and then it heals, and it feels so much better. So similarly, we might have to say the truth, and it might be unpalatable. But if we don't know the reality of this material world, then we'll just keep going back over and over, up and down, body after body, birth and death, birth and death. And who wants that? That's a miserable situation. So to save one from the misery, we have to explain there is misery. Everyone else is trying to tell you that it's all enjoyment. If you buy this car, you will enjoy. If you have this cup of coffee, you are going to enjoy today. If you buy these sunglasses, everyone will be thinking you are the all in all. You know, you are the greatest. If you go to this university, you will have the best job anywhere. You'll be paid the highest. Everyone's telling you, you can enjoy here. So I think it's our duty to tell the truth, to be honest. This place is a miserable place, even though it has a little enjoyment. But the real enjoyment is to simplify your life and lead a Krishna conscious life and finish your business and get out. That's the true reality. Sita? Is that okay, Marsh? Dumbles.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Can you comment on how the transcendental supreme enjoyment is so superior to any material enjoyment that exists, but still being exposed to processes that lead us to transcendental enjoyment, it doesn't, like I'm thinking that if I'm experiencing some transcendental enjoyment, or if I'm at least trying to, it would subsume all material aspirations for happiness that I've ever had, but it's really common that people will have some emotions or feelings more towards the transcendental realm, but then also fall back to their material pleasure. So it seems like they can compete, but transcendental enjoyment is intrinsically, I mean, it's like indescribable compared to material enjoyment, but it seems like they can still compete.
I think that's our marginal nature, that we can go material or spiritual. And in the neophyte platform, which I am myself, I can see, you know, sometimes we're wanting to enjoy in the material world, then sometimes we get great enjoyment of transcendental and think, I don't want anything else but that. And then the next day we're off doing something else, listening to something, looking at something. You know, so it goes up and down. But the more we keep going and getting that taste, very soon, it's so easy. You know, it's said, like, I've had things that I've been attached to that are contrary to spiritual life. And I thought at the beginning, I'll never be able to give this up. How can I give this up? I'm trying. But the more we practice this process and actually get the taste for spiritual life, those other things become so pale that they just fall away. You forget that you were even attracted to that. And later you look back and you think, how could I have thought that was enjoyment? That was awful. So but we're still very neophytes, so we're still tasting this, tasting that. But we must keep going and just keep practicing. And the taste comes more and more until then we forget about this material taste. But it's a gradual process.
I just wanted to make a comment on Maharaj's question, which is quite a prevalent consciousness. And I was thinking my parents would say that, you know, they know it's a miserable place, we're only here for a visit. And that is one aspect of the philosophy, is knowing that. But then the second part, and the part that we try to practice, even if we do go back and forth with it, is to put that knowledge into practice. You know, knowing that you're miserable is one thing, doing something about it is quite a different process. Just wanted to add that.
That's true. And you know, one at a point when you're suffering the most, you'll see how potent having this knowledge is. I know for different periods of my life when I've found extreme suffering, this philosophy has saved me and given me peace when there was no peace to be had any other place. So even through the misery or happiness, this is the place to be, so to speak. Okay, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita.